Hello, everybody, and welcome to our very first episode of the Game Club Review. I don't know what we're going to call this, just Game Club, whatever. We'll think of something later, I'm sure. Whatever it's going to be. But we're going to do this once a month to review the games that we've been playing over the course of the month and reveal what the next month's game will be. How many times can I say month during this podcast? Please send your guesses in the chat. So, what games have we been playing this month? We have been playing Battleground Play. Oh no, hang on. Let me just start again. Player Unknown's Battlegrounds, Hotshot Racing, Battletoads, and A Short Hike. And to join me to discuss those, it would be good to introduce them, are three people who are all right. I quite like them. They're not bad. First of all, we have Steve. How are you doing, Steve?
Yeah, I'm all right. You're not bad either, I suppose.
Oh.
I'm sorry you couldn't get your favourite on, but
I know.
I'm happy to be here.
I know. Second best. And joining us now is Ben. How are you doing, Ben? You've stopped shrinking and growing now, at least.
Good, good. Yeah, I'm fine. I'm also sorry you couldn't get your favourite on, but I'm glad you got your second best on as well. So I'm happy
Thanks
to
for
join.
Thanks best.
As well. Yeah.
What? Sorry, who was my first best again? Who was my favourite that I was looking to get on here? I can't recall.
Surely Dan.
Is Dan my favourite, right? Is that what you're
saying? Well,
that's the way
you're the
make
one
us
who said
feel.
That we were all right.
Yeah.
This is all you, man. We don't have
you've
any answers.
You've just extrapolated that I like one person more than the rest of you. It's like, you know, I just meant all of you.
You're
all okay.
You heavily implied it.
Whatever.
Podcast is now about perceived slights. We're going to have it out.
Okay.
Just going to argue for an hour and a half.
If you bring up anything to do with Breakpoint, I will just cut your feed. And next, joining us also is one of our lovely patrons. It's the fantastic, fabulous, wonderful Eamon. How are you doing?
Good evening. Jeez, that's a ringing endorsement there. I'm horrible, really. Nothing fabulous. Lovely about me.
Oh, I'll ask you a question, Eamon. Eamon, how does it feel to be respected by the host?
Oh, it's great, Steve. Someday, maybe. You'll see how it feels. I need a throne rather than this
you
wooden
do.
Chair here.
I need to give you a throne, Eamon. And Steve, I have loved you for 20 years. So one day you can deal with me being a 20.
I guess so. I guess so. Yeah.
And Ben, you're still all right. So let's move
on.
I like Ben a lot. Joking. Moving away from favouritism, by the way, hello to Lewis, who said, we're sitting right here, Andrew. Hi. And Scum Death, who said, dudes. All right. I'm holding a glass of wine in my hand. I have the red wine lips. I've been drinking wine all evening. What is everybody else drinking? Let's bring over the tradition of the main podcast. What's on everybody's desk on there?
Before we get onto that, I noticed Thylassos, our patron, has just subscribed on
Ooh.
Twitch as well via Prime.
Oh,
so thank
good.
You very much for that.
Thank
I don't
you.
Really know what that means still. I don't think any of us do, but it's nice.
It's £5, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, £5.
Yeah.
£5 of Jeff Bezos's money? Like, he didn't spend £5. Amazon gives us £5.
Oh, that's a good feeling. Mm. Split between 36 of us. So.
Well, that's a good 10 pence. What are we drinking then, chaps? Eamon, what are you drinking?
There's some hoes in this house. I'm on the hoe garden.
Oh.
But, no WAP to go with it.
Oh, dear.
Sorry.
Starting strong. Ben, what are you drinking?
I can't follow that. I'm drinking Perfect Wheat. I don't know what it is. I just get this stuff delivered and
perfect.
Then drink it.
Purr as in like a
purr,
cat.
As in
purrs.
A cat purr.
Oh.
It's 5%.
It's not made with cats, right?
It may be made by cats. I don't know. I've also got my cat. I've got my cat in the room with me tonight. And I don't know if you can see him. You probably can't see him on my video. But no doubt at some point he's going to come over and jump on me and scare me.
Oh.
So look forward to it.
I like that. Yeah. I like that. What's his name again?
Rocky.
Oh, hi, Rocky.
That's a solid cat name.
He is a solid cat.
He does look solid from what you've shown.
He's a chonky boy with an eye.
And finally, Steve, what are you drinking?
Oh, I'm just drinking some Evian.
Oh, no tap water for Steve.
No, always Evian.
And you pronounce it like that every time as well.
I'm saying it like a wanker on purpose. I don't always call it that.
Oh dear.
When he's in Lidl searching for water. Do you put Charles?
Excuse me.
Do
you have any Evian?
Amazing. I am on, as I've said, the red wine. A bit of Sainsbury's house wine. I've drunk like half the bottle, so this might be an interesting podcast.
We can tell.
So
no shit.
Thanks. So what are we all here for? We are here to discuss the games of September. So if you haven't been keeping up with us so far, we decided to do a bit of a game club. It's not an original thing, I know, but you know, whatever. We decided we wanted to get us all together to play the same games for a month, make sure that they're all decently priced or, you know, part of a subscription, and then we could all, you know, all take part. And the games that we chose, as I've said already, the main three games were A Short Hike, Battletoads, and Battlegrounds. We also known as PUBG, which we'll probably refer to it as throughout, because that's how people refer to it. And then about a week in, I decided more to the point, that we'd have a bonus game, which was Hot Shot Racing. So, I don't know, where do we start? Should we start with A Short Hike? And
sure,
talk about that. Who's played it out of all four of us, by the way? Who's played A Short Hike?
I have.
Yeah,
I've played it, yeah.
Yep, I think I've played about 10 minutes of it, so you guys will have more to say about it than I will. who wants to start us off with A Short Hike?
Well, who's finished A Short Hike?
Yep, I have.
You have?
Yep.
Eamon, you finished it?
I haven't finished a playthrough yet.
Okay, yeah. I shamefully have not, which is kind of stupid, really, because it's not a long game, is it? But I sat and played a pretty big chunk of it,
yeah,
and really enjoyed it, and then just didn't go back. I don't really know why. That's not. I don't think anyone should hold that against the game itself, because it's not the game's fault. I just didn't, and I'm a bit worried now that it's been so long that if I did go back, I would just be confused about what's going on. So I might have to go back and start it again, because from what I played of it, I thought it was very, very good.
I think it is one of them one sitting kind of games. So I played it all from start to finish. I think that helped. I was just in the mood. You know when you want just a big gentle hug of a game. You know, you need some TLC. You need to escape to something just nice and peaceful. So I just played. I think it took about 2 hours start to finish. You could probably do it quicker, but obviously you can go off sort of meandering and, you know, just exploring the island. We should probably say what the game is, actually. I realise this a lot of the time. We just launch straight into what we think of it.
I do this a lot as well, yeah.
And actually, it was when I was recording that cross section on Hades. There we go, first mention of Hades. When we were doing that, I noticed Adam kind of reined me in and said, "Should we just explain what the game is first before you start going? Oh, and then there's this bit, and there's this." And I think, yeah. So, anyone, what is A Short Hike?
I would say A Short Hike is, some might disparagingly refer to it as a walking simulator. Mm. It is a sort of isometric-ish, sort of top-down view. Really simple, blocky, chunky graphics. It's given the impression of being very, very low resolution, but it actually isn't. That's like an artistic choice. I would say you run around as a little bird person and talk to people, and it's incredibly well written. The writing is very witty, and you are basically just unfolding this story. You don't know very much at the beginning. You just know that they've taken a trip to a mountain somewhere, and she has to get to the top of the mountain for the phone signal, right?
Yeah,
if I remember
exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you run around as a bird, and you can glide around, which feels really good.
Mm. That's part of it, actually.
Someone else want to take
over? I think that's the thing that differentiates it. Or stops it being a walking simulator. It feels gamey, you know. It does
like feel gamey,
flying
yeah.
around. You feel like you're playing a video game. You don't feel like you're just going from one dialogue sequence to another. There's kind of, and there's little mini games that you can go off. So there's the, what was it, beach stickball or something like that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think that's what it was called. But it's like volleyball where you're just hitting the ball with a stick and trying to get a high score. And the flying around feels really good, so it's quite fun to play, and also like even if you're not following the story, you're just, you know, just dossing about on this island, having races and what have you. But also, it's just got a lot of heart. It's got a lot of nods to Animal Crossing. I noticed I stumbled across a money rock at one point, and I was just hitting this rock with a spade, and money was just coming out of it, as it does in Animal Crossing, and there's little touches like that. But I think it's a lovely little game. I think it's got a lot of replay value as well, just because it's, you know, it is that, just the feeling that it gives you, the, you know, that sort of escapism for a couple of hours. It's nice.
It is nice, and it's low impact too. Like, you start that game and you don't worry about it. You don't worry about how much time it's going to take you. You don't worry about how hard it's going to be. You just kind of sink into it like a warm bath. Enjoy it.
Exactly.
It's nice.
Yeah. Mark in the chat was saying it took him until his third time playing it to find Beach Stickball. And I think that's the other thing. There are these... You could just go and finish the game. You could go to the top of the mountain, get the... What is it? The golden feathers, so that you can...
Yeah.
Effectively, that's more stamina, isn't it? So you can kind of climb higher.
Yes.
And you could just... I mean, there's loads of stuff that I will have missed, which means next time I play it, you know, I'll stumble across them and it'll be like, oh, this is cool. But yeah, it's just one of those little nice little nuggets of a game. And I think, I mean, I love it. Eamon?
I really flip-flopped in this game. When I played it at first, it didn't really grab me. I just thought it was like a loose allegory for overcoming adversity and then flying the nest from, under your parents' wings. But the more I've kind of had time to think and reflect on it, it's more like a kind of coming-of-age movie wrapped in a game. All those little experiences with the different people on the island, and even the, you know, you flying around in the speedboat and racing those little races and stuff. It just feels like a kind of, you know, summer camp, coming of age sort of teenage movie vibe to it. And I really like that, and that kind of would pull me back in for another play at some stage, I think.
It sounds like one of those games that, because it's quite short, and because, like you said, there's a lot to come back and find again, sounds like one you'd have to play. You kind of have to play almost 3 or 4 times just to see all it's got to offer.
Yeah.
Which is quite good when you've got a game like that, because there's so few games these days have proper replay value where you can actually go back in and play it again. Or you'd want to go back in as well. A lot of games you don't really want to go back in because they're such big, epic experiences that the thought of going back in for another 20 hours of a game is quite intimidating. But this sounds like it's just a nice thing to jump into and want, you know, once in a while, just to maybe see something new and experience it all again, by the sounds of what you've all been saying. Mm.
Yeah, and
it should also be... Sorry, Ben, go on.
No, go on, mate.
Oh, I was just going to say, it should also be said that this is what... This costs like £5, is it?
Yeah.
So it is a really like low barrier to entry, both in terms of how much you have to spend, but also playing the game itself is very chill. So it's like nothing about this feels egregious. It all feels very nice.
Yeah. And it's got a lot of heart. Like, the story is a simple one, but... I forget who it was that said they cried at one point. Probably Rich. I can't, you know, it didn't pull those strings with me so much, but at the same time it's a good story. It's a very simplistic story, but you know, it kind of sucks you in, and all the little side quests that you do, you know, they're very light, but yeah, it just feels like that kind of package where they've just deliberately just tried to make something that feels just like a lovely Sunday afternoon hike, almost. Mm. They've nailed it. And as Steve mentioned, I think the graphics kind of bleed into that as well. It's just, you know, almost, it's got this, it kind of reminds you of your childhood a little bit. It's sort of PS1 era or even like DS, 3DS kind of graphic style. Yeah. Did anyone change that? Because there is an option I noticed.
I did, yeah.
What does it make a big difference?
You can make it look very sharp, and what you realise is that's a very sharp-looking game underneath. Mm. Like, they've made it look a bit shit on purpose, and it works really well. And I think it looks... Like, it looks good when you sharpen it up, but it definitely looks better when you leave it on its chunky mode.
Nice. So just say we've so Gamer Jason, who's on Twitch as well, says I think he agrees with you, Steve. He got to the top of the mountain, bumbled around for a bit, and then lost complete interest. Obviously, you've not lost complete interest in it, Steve, but obviously, you got about as far as you.
No, I definitely want to go back, because I think just the concept of needing to get to the top of the mountain for an important phone call and not knowing what the phone call is, like, I feel like it's going to be affecting. I don't want my expectations to be too high, but I hope that the reason is good and I hope it pays off. But I guess I should go back and find out.
Thylosos says he still needs to find time for this one, but he's keen to give it a go, as he loves a Gone Home / Firewatch type job, and not opposed to the low fidelity of visuals. Is this comparable to Gone Home or Firewatch, would you say? Is it in that kind of vein?
I mean, I've only played Firewatch of those two, and it's not really, no. I mean, the other one that he mentioned just in the comment after was that it's like a less moody Oxenfree. I would say it's closer to that, if anything. But still, those are all, I would class all of those as walking sims. I wouldn't class this as a walking sim, because I do think it is so gamey, and it is... it's not particularly dialogue driven or even narrative driven. It's just stuff just happens, and while you're playing a game, if that makes any sense whatsoever. Probably not.
Is it like a lot of little experiences within?
Yeah.
That's what it's
it feels freer than those games. You're not sort of stuck reading walls of text or buttoning through voices. It definitely has a narrative thrust and a very well done one, but you don't feel weighed down by it.
Awesome. I don't know what we're going to do with these. Should we give these a score at the end, perhaps? Is that what we should be doing?
Or should we put them in order at the end, maybe?
Ooh. Okay, that's gonna be difficult though. But let's give that.
No one said this would be easy.
That's true.
Actually, before we move on from a short hike,
yeah,
Andrew, you're notorious for this anyway. But what? Why have you only played 10 minutes of it? You played it basically.
No, it wasn't that. So basically, one thing to mention about this is that it was part of the bundle for racial justice and racial equality, which was like $5 or something. So when the BLM movement began, and we had a lot of that stuff, I said when it began, but when this year, when it really began, that came up, and it was like 700 odd games, comic books, visual novels kind of thing that we all put together on itch.io.com, and that was a part of this. So I found out, I think through Thylosos, in fact, that I didn't need to buy this. It was already a part of this bundle that I previously bought. So therefore, I only have it on the Mac, which is what I played it on for 10 minutes, and I don't generally play games on my Mac. I found it really difficult to control with the keyboard and mouse, and I couldn't be bothered to set up the gamepad, to be perfectly brutally honest, and then I didn't end up buying it for the Switch. So I would have played it more probably if I bought it for the Switch, I think. Maybe that's what I need to do. Maybe I now need to buy it for the Switch to give it a proper try.
It's a good handheld game, definitely. It feels very at home on the Switch.
Yeah. I'm sure we this is proper like fly by the seat of your pants podcasting here. I'm sure we had like a stuff that we had planned for this, but it's been a little while since we decided what we were going to do.
Planned.
So what? Well, I say planned. I said we had vague notions of as to what the podcast would be. So we were going to rate, wasn't it? That's right. So we'll just kind of decide what came in first place. But
okay.
Yeah, do let us know in the chat as well. You don't have to wait for us to finish talking about all the games. Let us know what would be your first place game out of these four as we're going along, and we'll add those into the tally, I suppose. All right, let's move on to the next game, which was an Xbox / PC exclusive. This is one that launched on Game Pass, which is something that we're all pretty obsessed with at the moment, and that was Battletoads. So this is it's not a remake, it's a new game in a series that's been going for quite a while by the company Rare. It's not had a game for years, has it? It's been kind of dormant. It's a dormant franchise for quite some time.
Did Rare make this?
Yeah.
I believe they did.
I don't know if they developed it. I know it's like
it's their IP.
I know it's their IP.
And I know there's a lot of references to Rare in it, but I'm not sure if they actually developed this one.
I'm gonna Google it while you talk. So who's played this game?
I mean, I don't want to give any spoilers away for what's going to come next, but I'd be disappointed if Rare did make this.
Oh, wow.
I thought exactly the same thing, Steve.
it was two developers. So it was Rare, but it was mostly Dalala Studios who made it, but okay. I think Rare had a hand in helping them with it. So
okay. Yeah. Cool. Yes, I have played this game.
Yep.
Anyone else?
Yeah, I've played enough of it, yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Ben. Eamon?
Same.
Did anyone play the original on the in the olden days?
No, on the Game Boy, I played one of them. I think it was the second one on the Game Boy, and it was just insanely hard, especially as an 8-year-old or a 9-year-old. I think I played the first level about 500 times.
So
the original Battletoads games were notorious for being difficult to the point of being unfair. In particular, the like speeder bike level where you've got to go up and down and dodge the obstacles, and it's just ridiculously hard, impossible almost. I feel like that's the only reason why Battletoads is retained in the consciousness, in sort of the collective consciousness, is because there were games with good ideas that were also a bit shit. So I was surprised when they said they were going to make a new one. I'm not really sure who wanted that, but they did it, and
It's sort of got a cult following, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Which I guess it was just created off the back of the Ninja Turtle craze originally.
Yes, pretty much.
So, the positives. Let's start on the front foot. I think the story, or how they introduce the game when you first start it, is quite entertaining. They're effectively in a... you start off as a... You know, it's a side-scrolling brawler, belt-scrolling brawler, whatever you want to call it. And so it starts off just like that. But then at the end of the first level, it's sort of revealed that they've been in a simulation for... I think it's like 26 years since the last game came out. So it's quite self-referential, and that you basically, after that first level, they go crashing back to reality. There's a little bit that comes on the screen that says, you know, 400 job interviews later, and then you get to this little mini game sequence where one of them is a masseuse, and you just have to press the left and right bumper to sort of massage this guy, and then, you know, twist the analog sticks round and round to massage, and then it's a couple of other kind of menial tasks that you've basically got as your jobs. So that started off quite funny. Whether any of it is actually any good to play is another matter, because the bulk of it is the side-scrolling brawler element. And when in a year that Streets of Rage 4 has come out, it just... Or even like, you know, when Castle Crashers was re-released last year, this feels like just such a cheap... an attempt to make a beat-em-up, but it's just so basic and not in a charming way either. In my opinion.
The beat 'em up stuff, I didn't hate it. It was fine.
Yeah.
But like, that's about it, really. I think the animation is very nice. I think it's a very nice looking game. Some of those special moves are bordering on sort of Cuphead level quality of animation.
Yeah.
It looks really good, and I think the writing is pretty sharp as well. Like, if they did a Battletoads Netflix series, I might give it a go. I might drop in for the first episode and see how it goes. But the game's just kind of dull, I guess. It's just kind of not very fun to play, which is a shame.
So, full disclosure, I only played it today because I was conscious that we were doing this and I wanted to have played all of the games that we were talking about. So I played it in co-op with my 7-year-old, and I thought, okay, well, he might like it, because, you know, it's cartoony and pretty simple, but he was like, can we play Moving Out now? Can we, like, after about 10 minutes of this, he was like, can we just play something else? And he gave it 5 out of 10, by the way.
Oh,
wow.
Which is, you know, it's, everything's either a 10 or a 0 or a 5. He's like IGN. But it's, the funniest thing was, the most fun that we had was on the where you're on the bikes. And that's basically just an endless runner. So the most fun we had was playing, you know, like a mobile game, really, within within the game. And that, I think that is a pretty damning indictment of the game, to be honest.
Eamon, what about yourself? What are you thinking?
Well, here's where I'm at with it. In terms of the beat 'em up, in a year whenever Streets of Rage 4 has come out, just in comparison, it feels really clumsy. And poor, very button mashy at times as well. But when you string together a few of those combos, it does become really fun, but not fun enough, I think. And then in terms of the humour and sort of the self-referential, oh, you know, we used to be a game back in the day, it leans heavily on what Kid Icarus Uprising done. And I think Kid Icarus just done a far better job with the humour. It just, Battletoads kind of falls short of the mark in that respect as well. So I just think it's a swing and a miss, really.
I mean, I only played the first level, to be honest. And I thought at first it was going to be this big, challenging, side-scrolling beat-em-up thing on the same kind of level as Streets of Rage 4. It looked really nice. I quite liked the humour. And the first time that one of the characters, like, died, you know, like, I got beaten up. Like, in Streets of Rage, you then kind of, like, blink back into existence and you've used one of your lives up, and that's great, you know, carry on until you've lost all your lives. What I wasn't counting on is the fact that you just switch between all the toads and basically they act like your lives, except they just replenish. So there felt like there was no challenge in it because you just kept coming back as a different toad. Like, if one of your toads got knocked out, another one would jump in. And the toad then didn't stay dead, they would regenerate. I don't know if that was just because it was the first level or not, but that
So there is a cooldown on that, and if it's a particularly difficult fight, you can end up losing all three toads before you've had a chance to regenerate one. But yeah, you're basically right. It's, if you just stay alive, you can keep going forever.
Yeah. Do we think that's because it's more built towards or geared towards kids playing it, do we think?
I think it might just be because it's shit.
I think either that or it's based on science, because obviously toads can regenerate.
That's very true. Yeah.
I think I may be misremembering Jurassic Park.
But yeah, it just felt like it lacked something because of that. Like, it felt like the challenge wasn't there for me. And although I kind of appreciated the humour, it's not my usual kind of humour. And although it looked great, Streets of Rage 4 has been and done it already in terms of that amazing 2D aesthetic. I mean, so
they are going for very different art styles. Like, yeah. And I'll back up something that Eamon said. I think when you're stringing together those combos, you can actually do combos between toads as well, so you can switch between them.
Yeah.
And some of the animations for those are very creative and very well done, and there are flickers of enjoyment to be had in those. But for the most part,
It's a shame. Sorry, go ahead, Andrew.
I
think you're going to say the same thing as me about the chat.
Sure. Yeah. Go for it.
Mark, big fan of this game. So, sorry, Mark. But yeah, he said it's definitely not the worst game this month. Ooh.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
Yeah. Ooh.
And Lewis is just incandescent with rage. that we're all slacking it off. He's turned around in a huff.
He's also said they replenish at checkpoints, the toads. So
oh, do they? Okay. I was wrong about that.
It says great game, and I found it hilarious. I mean, hilarious is a stretch. It was like, there was a couple of moments, you know, when you think, I probably should laugh at this.
So it's very, they throw a lot at the wall.
Yeah.
And a lot of it sticks, but a lot of it does not. So that's the kind of humor that they're going for. It's a shotgun blast of jokes.
Yeah.
Some of it hits, some of it very much does not hit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a point where one of them is disturbed in their sleep because they think there is a burglar downstairs. And he goes, guys, wake up. I think there's a thief in our house. And someone goes, there's nothing to steal in our house.
So what?
And he goes, you're right. I'll go and apologize.
Yeah, that did.
It's pretty good.
That did raise
it's pretty
chuckle.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's cool. Mark points out as well, Edge magazine, obviously the very well-known and mostly well-respected gaming magazine, gave this game 4 out of 10.
Wow.
So
we've
not,
got a 5 and a 4 so far from the big the big publications.
Yep. Benson and Edge review this averagely. I think average is the word to use for this game, right? It does some things well, and it does a lot of things not great, and a lot of games do what it tries to do much better, I would say.
As Steve said with the dialogue, the game just feels like, let's just throw a bunch of shit at the wall and hope that it somehow just, you know, recaptures that nostalgia and that feeling. Because I think the original was very going from different kind of play styles to the next. But this just feels like a complete just dump of ideas and a dump of a game.
There is a part of this game that is, it descends into like a bullet hell game. And I fucking hate bullet hell games. So I'm just like, whatever, I'm done. Having a lot of gameplay diversity in your game is good, but when you do it this much, you do risk losing people. Because if you're not in the mood for bullet hell, you can't progress in this game.
Yeah. I mean, so they've done things with Battletoads before. Like, do you remember the Killer Instinct game that they brought out on Xbox One? Mm-hmm. So they brought like a Battletoads character out for that, which is on Game Pass as well. So they kind of tried to shoehorn that into that, which kind of makes sense. It's a rare, Killer Instinct is a rare game as well. And, you know, they're wanting to pay tribute to games that have gone before. But we've come, I mean, this year in particular has been a big one for old IP getting brought back to the mainstream. And it felt to me like this game was just trying to, I mean, I think it was developed, you know, alongside those kind of games like Streets of Rage 4, but it almost felt like it was trying to cash in on the nostalgia for old IP by just kind of, like you say, flinging as much as they could to try and hope that the IP would come back and stick. And I don't know,
there was possibly a man in a suit somewhere who decided that they could cash in on an old IP, but I wouldn't necessarily levy that accusation at the devs, because they put a lot of time and effort. Like, it's it didn't work for me at all, but like a lot of talented people worked on this. Like, it's
I do see your point
that it was probably only greenlit because people like old stuff now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And in the year that we've had Streets of Rage 4 and Tony Hawk's, and, you know, on the back of the Crash and Spyro remasters and everything, this just this falls way, way short of all of those. But look, I'm sure it cost a lot less to make than they did. I think that shows as well. But yeah, look, I don't want to slag off anymore.
Yeah. And we didn't have to pay anything to play it, you know, as part of Game Pass. So
yeah,
that's true.
Yeah,
we lost nothing. We lost nothing by playing this, apart from time.
Lewis is saying, right, shut the fuck up and move on.
We've really angered him. Wow. You really like this game. Would you place this at number one? Lewis, is this your number one game of the month? Sounds like it is. All right, let's move on then to the next game, which I think we've all played this one, but I think we all have very different opinions on it. This is PUBG. Eamon, I'm going to come to you first.
That's a terrible idea.
Oh, well. I believe you told us you installed this, and is this one that you installed and kept on your hard drive for quite a while?
For quite a while, maybe 48 hours. It just didn't gel with me at all. Just find it very dry compared to the likes of Fortnite. User interface, very confusing. Didn't know what I was doing. I suppose I didn't really jump on with you guys at any stage, so maybe that is part of the reason why. I suppose just because it was the original or the first doesn't necessarily mean it was the best. It's like the guy that invented the submarine forgot to invent the hatch, drowned, you know what I mean? It's just an abysmal game. I don't like it at all. Couldn't get on it.
Mm-hmm. Mark agrees with you. Mark is saying, hands down, the worst game of the month. As we said earlier, as your lessons learned from the Hades thing, we should probably explain what this is. So PUBG is a battle royale game, possibly the first popular, definitely the first popular battle royale game. It's now on PS4, Xbox as well, and it's free at the moment on PS Plus, or is in September anyway, won't be if you listen to this beyond September, and it's also on Game Pass currently. It was the battle royale game that was popular before Fortnite became a thing, and mm-hmm. also Fortnite, we've mentioned this anecdote a lot, but Fortnite was sued by the makers of PUBG for essentially copying what they did,
which was ludicrous,
yeah, considering they weren't the first one to do it either. Mm-hmm. So Eamon, not a fan. Mark, not a fan. Ben, were you a fan?
I don't have such strong feelings as Eamon and Mark. I think Mark in particular. What we should do next month is take notes of all the comments through the month, because Mark's one was just played it, fired it up, already uninstalled it. What a load of shite. the rain effects, it looks fucking awful. He had a very strong aversion to it. I can see why, because it's butt ugly. Like, it is...
It's not a handsome game,
though. No. Yeah, it's not pretty. And that in itself, because you can't help but compare it to Fortnite. It's, mm-hmm. you know... And Fortnite is obviously very simplistic, very stylized, but it is clean, and it looks like a modern game. This just kind of is off-putting right from the start. And then, as Eamon said, you get into it and suddenly there's all this extra shit that you have to do that you wouldn't have to do in Fortnite. You know, like adding on your bits and bobs. Steve, help me out here. I'm drowning. Adding your bits and bobs to your guns.
adding your attachments to your weapons.
That's the word. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And having to have a backpack to carry it all around in.
Yes.
And it is... I can totally see, Eamon, if you're jumping in just by yourself, and I think Mark did the same, I would have uninstalled it straight away doing that, because without these guys playing with me, I would not have a clue what I was doing at all, and that's just not fun. But I did end up having fun with it, more to do with the group I was playing with than mm-hmm. the game itself. Mm-hmm. The game is interchangeable. It could have been Fortnite, it could have been Rocket League, anything else, but we just happened to be playing PUBG. And I happened to be with my friends, and that's what was great. I don't think the game is great. I think it's good, but I'd rather play Fortnite.
Fair, fair. Steve, what about yourself? What are your thoughts on PUBG?
I like this game a lot. I have a great deal of affection for PUBG. I played it a fair amount a couple of years ago, and then I went back to it for this game club stuff to play it with you gents, and I had a blast with it again. I've never played this game on my own. If I were to pick this up and go in it on my own, I think I would probably have a similar experience. It is quite dry, and it's not the most exciting thing to look at. This is all about having a good time with your friends, this game. And while it's not a very pretty game in terms of, it doesn't really have an art style. They're just rendering a facsimile of real life, and I think they do a relatively good job of it. I think it's the maps are impressive because they're massive, and that's key to this as well. And it's also, they're very different to other games in that multiplayer maps in games are usually sort of very compressed versions of real life. Like Fortnite, it feels like a long distance, but it's a long distance compressed into what is actually a short distance. It just looks like a long distance, right? Whereas in PUBG, yeah, it is fucking miles and miles, and there's huge stretch of land between the towns that is just empty. And that exists because you have little road trips with your friends, and you'll drive from one town to the other. And if you look through your scope, you can see a town really far away, and you can see people running around in that town. And the level of detail is actually really impressive when you stop to look at it. And that's all in service of this sort of open world quasi-realistic military shooty game, which I just think is executed incredibly well. I think the interface being shit is absolutely right. That's an objective truth about that game. The interface sucks, and you have to get used to it before it's usable in any way. That's just because it's a PC game that they brought over to console. But it's not nearly as complicated as it seems. It is not nearly as realistic as it looks like it's trying to be. It's fairly arcadey, but it wants to give you the impression that you and your friends are badass military guys and girls using badass guns, having badass firefights. And I just think it does it really well. I really, really enjoy it.
Mark has made the point that people talking about PUBG is way more fun than the gameplay. Hearing you talk about it, Steve, though, is true to degree. I enjoyed hearing you speak about it. And I think you've hit it on the head, because it looks like an intimidating game, and the menu system and trying to get things like adding attachments and stuff takes way too many button presses to do. Whereas things in Fortnite are really simple and straightforward. It's usually the press of a button.
And make no mistake, if Fortnite, so don't forget that Fortnite was a game made by mistake, right? They put Battle Royale into another game and it exploded in popularity. If they could have, they would have ripped off more of PUBG. They would have had backpacks, they would have had attachments. They just couldn't. And it is the attachments and the backpacks and stuff are part of what make PUBG so so engaging, because it's exciting and fun to find those things.
Yeah, it's leveling up, isn't it? Because you do, it's literally levels of backpack and different levels of gun and things, and you don't get that in Fortnite really. And something else that you don't get in Fortnite is the number of maps. So Fortnite has one map, which does change over the course of a season, but there's like six maps, right? Six different maps, various sizes.
Yeah.
For different numbers of players, because you can get like a 64 player game if you don't get enough people into the server. And they're all really great in their own way, and it changes the gameplay up quite a lot from game to game, going through between the different maps, I think.
It does, yeah. So the sort of default map that was there at the beginning is sort of this kind of like Soviet Russia abandoned type city, well, island full of cities type thing. But there's a lot of your view is obfuscated by hills and buildings and forests and stuff. And then there are other maps, there's like a desert map where you can see for miles. Your view is unobstructed. So that's a much more sort of long range game type map. And then there's a snowy map where the elevations are very different, and you can be very, very high, and you can look down and see people very, very low. And yeah, it really does change things up. And with the classic kind of Battle Royale contracting circle type thing, and because of how massive and varied these maps are, it feels like the end game of any different match is always going to be different. Like, you always end up constrained to a part of the map that you've never been before, in a way that you've never been before, from a direction that you've never been before, and it forces you to really think on your feet, and it's really cool.
Biggest positive for me is no building. You don't have
to. Yes, absolutely.
That's the one thing it's got over Fortnite for a more casual player, I think, is not seeing. I think Dan made this point, like, you feel like you've got a chance when it gets to the end game, because there's, you know, it's just you versus someone, and it's, you know, you're on an equal footing, and it's not some bell end just firing up a fort at, you know, 100 miles an hour in front of you, and you just know you're gonna get taken out when you see that. So that's good. That's a good leveler for me. But yeah, I you know, it's good. It's a good game, but you can certainly see the money that's been pumped into Fortnite, the marketing machine that it's become. It's just overtaken this in every way. It's just a finely tuned game, and this feels like it's probably more for the purists, I would say. Like, you can imagine the sort of people that are still playing this are the sort of people that would go, well, Fortnite's just, you know, cartoony, or it's for kids. This is the serious game where we pretend to kill other people.
And do you know, and you're right, but like, it's not that serious.
No.
It definitely has that look, you're right. But that's what's fun about it. Like, that's what makes it fun, is because you can be serious army dudes and get in an old Russian car and
in your cut pants. About...
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's just fun to dick about in this super serious environment. And I don't want to sound like I was throwing shade at Fortnite either, because like, I loved that game. I played a heck of a lot of that game. Mm. But for me, the Battle Royale concept is distilled perfectly in PUBG.
Mm. Yeah, I think throwing it back to something you said earlier, Ben, which was that, you know, it kind of doesn't matter what the game is. If you're playing it with a bunch of people and you're having fun, the games are kind of interchangeable to a degree. So it's I kind of understand that, but with PUBG, I don't know. I've had too much red wine. The game still has to be good. So I don't think you can just say that these things are interchangeable, because if we'd have all picked up a game. I can't think of an example. Like, all right, if Battletoads was a multiplayer game, we'd all pick that up. We would have very quickly put that back down again. So it's not just about the group. The game has to have some kind of substance, yeah. And it has to be good. And I think that PUBG definitely is.
Yeah, I think good. I think good is accurate.
Okay. Just to say that Lewis cares so little that he started a conversation with Scumdeath about MotoGP. And Mark has said, it's not a ringing endorsement, is it? It's okay if you play with mates. That's kind of the point. Not all games are single-player experiences, I think.
I don't know. I think... I don't know. Like, I think that's like selling PUBG a bit short. Like, it's so well executed. Like, if the game was shit, you would have a shit time, even if you were with your mates, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. Maybe it's to the game's credit that it feels like the game's interchangeable. Like, it's so good that it just kind of weaves its way into your experience with your friends, and you just kind of play it without thinking about...
Yeah. I mean, I would... Like, I don't want to sort of labour the point. I would happily play Fortnite or Rocket League. They're the only two online games I can think of off the top of my head by myself. I can't imagine ever playing this by myself. And I don't know if that's just because I haven't put enough time into it, but it just does. It seems to lack that element of just immediacy and fun that those two have. But that's kind of a subjective thing, because, you know, one man's fun is another man's average game.
Fair enough. Yeah. Just say Scumdeath plays this and he plays on mobile, and he has said, play PUBG on mobile phone, you will win most times, trust me. Okay, cool. So there are some people who like it in the chat as well.
And Thalassos was asking there about, are we going to get into October's Game Club games? We will get to that.
Yes.
Bear with us.
We're leaving you hanging. We're waiting until the end.
Yep.
We're going to reveal all at the end. So exciting. So
F's in the chat. I still don't know what that means.
No, me neither. All right, so we had a bonus game this month, which we will do in all months going on forward. This one I picked just because the other ones that we'll do will be a vote among patrons. So if you're not a patron yet, do go to patreon.com/thecrossplayers, where you can have a vote. And of course, if you want to join us for anything to do with the Game Club, it's down there in Twitch. But if you're listening to us, it's thecrossplayers.com/discord. So our bonus game this month then was Hot Shot Racing, which came out literally, I think it was on the 10th of September. So it was 10 days into Game Club this year. And it's a racing game in the old kind of Ridge Racer style, lots of drifting. It's free on Game Pass. Come on then, who's played this one?
Yep, I have.
Yeah?
I'm 4 for 4 this month. Oh. I get all my stamps.
Yeah, you do.
I played it for one afternoon anyway. Maybe about 45 minutes, half an hour, 45 minutes. Very enjoyable, yeah.
You've gone past the Dickinson threshold. Well done.
You have. Yeah, you have. Steve, what about you?
I haven't played this at all, I'm afraid. So.
Okay.
I've got nothing to add on this one, sorry.
Fair enough. If anybody in the chat wants to take Steve's place, please just type out a very long comment and we'll read it later.
Where's Rich? Where's Rich when we need him?
I know, right? Yeah. Does he do Twitch? I don't know if he does Twitch. Right. It's probably too modern for
him. Only if you poke him with a stick.
Yeah. Ben, come on then.
Yes.
What do you think about Hot Shot Racing?
Well, I mean, it's pretty simple. It's just an arcadey racing game. Visually, does kind of reminds me of I'm blanking on the name of it now. Horizon Chase Turbo. It's got that sort of low poly, very clean, stylized look to it. Very colourful. It plays, as you said, Andrew, it kind of plays a bit like Ridge Racer. And I think that's what is probably the most off-putting aspect of it, because it's not just, it doesn't have quite the pick-up and play of Horizon Chase Turbo, because you have to get used to the drifting, I think. So Lewis, for example, and I'm sure he'll pipe up in the comments, he played it for, I think, one or two races. He played it in a rush on his lunch break or something like that. And the drift does feel weird to begin with. It's not until you get used to how to control it. And Rich, actually, to his credit, did mention this on the previous crosscast, that and much more eloquently than I ever would be able to, that the way that you have to control it, once you nail that, it's really good fun. And you do it's kind of like Mario Kart, the way you kind of just waggle from left to right as you're going around the corner. Yeah, but only in that aspect. That's the only thing they've got in common.
Oh, okay.
but yeah, the presentation of it, I loved. The, you know, it's kind of got that Sega, like, virtual racing era look to it. The sort of Daytona, you know, trying to make it to the checkpoint before your timer runs out. And you don't really see that in racing games anymore. And yeah, I really liked it. I've probably put a couple of hours into it. Finished one of the careers of one of the racers. And yeah, I love games like this anyway. This is just something I could just pick up and play and sink hours into. But yeah, I think it's a really well made arcade racer.
I have to play it. It looks really, really nice. I really like the screenshots I can see.
It sounds great as well. Yeah. Sounds like, you know, and even to the point where there's a, you know, like you would get in a Sega Rally or a Daytona, where it's like, time extension! And it's just got that that feel to it. Yeah, love
awesome.
It. Love it.
Nice.
Yeah, the characters, racers you can pick are all pretty colourful and look great as well. And I would love to play this in an arcade with the steering wheel and the accelerator. It just is that great arcade aesthetic. And all the sound and the visuals would just be perfect. You can pump all your pocket money on there as a kid.
yeah.
Does it lose anything from? Because it's obvious. It's got a lot of arcade heritage. Like you've just said, it's kind of one of those. Does it lose something by not being in the arcade? Like you know, you've got that. Like you said, you're pumping money into the arcade machine. It's one more try. Does it lose something because of that, or
it loses the threat of being mugged by teenagers that you would get in an arcade.
Sure.
I think there's that.
Right.
And the vein, the sort of smell of, you know, stale cigarettes and...
We all miss that.
And
we all miss
semen.
It,
so. But,
but... It's pronounced Seaman.
Seaman, sorry. Yeah, the arcade classic, Seaman, that's what I meant. No, I don't think so. I think it's great. It's, you know, again, getting back to the Battletoads point, it does tap into that nostalgia in the correct way. In the way that you'd want it to, it feels and it reminds you of everything you loved in the past, but it's so much better and improved in every possible way, with all the quality of life that you'd expect from a modern game. You know, it's pretty shallow. I would even say, you know, when you compare it to Horizon Chase Turbo, which is probably the closest comparison, which is why I keep mentioning it. That's got a pretty long world tour mode. Whereas this is more like, you know, like in Street Fighter, where you can just, you know, you go through and you do 8 fights and then you get a little story sequence at the end. It's like that, the arcade mode.
Okay.
But it's got online, which I haven't really got stuck into, but, you know, that would be pretty funny to get all of us in a race against each other.
Yeah. But we should do that.
Yeah.
Try and do that before the month is out. That'd be an interesting thing to do. So arrange that. Just to read some of the comments from the chat then, Mark says this is the second best game of the month. And he says that once the drifting mechanics click, it's incredible. It's like all the arcade races of the 90s had a baby. The only bad thing is that there's no flies on the windscreen like in Cruising USA. It's a game I've not actually played, but so Mark really enjoyed it. Gamer Jason only played a little bit, but had a great time with Hotshot. The drifting clicked quite quickly for me, which is good. As you said, as you knew he would say, Ben, Lewis says, I really had a strong aversion to this and I really wanted to like it. So there you go. But more likes than dislikes this time around by the looks of it, which is, which is good.
And also shout out to Shy Guy, because on our Discord, he did take the time to basically say how to do the drifting, and he put that in.
Oh, that's cool.
And that really helped because, two or three races in, I was like, there's something I'm clearly missing here. And he described the way to do it, and he used the Mario Kart example. And after that, it all clicked. So thank you, Shy, if you're listening.
Thank you.
Much appreciated.
Yeah. I mean, you do expect it to play and control like a Ridge Racer game, right? Like, you expect to hit the brake or the handbrake and just the back end to fly out like you would in Ridge Racer, but it's definitely not anything like that. So, yeah, it's very nice to have that the tips and tricks from Shy Guy for sure. Cool. Anybody got anything further to add about Hotshot before we move on?
Nope.
The beauty of Game Pass, I think that's, the fact that you could just try these games,
Day one for Hotshot as well.
Yeah.
Release day came out, so.
Again, it does, like, I think that's the case with all Game Pass games, though. It does feel like it's slightly devalued. I don't feel like the same rush to get back to it like I would if I'd paid however much it is on Switch, if that makes sense. You know, if I've actually feel like I've invested in a game, I want to put a good chunk of time into it.
Yeah.
You know, says the guy with loads of games that he hasn't played. But
yes.
whereas this, I'm like, okay, well, it's like Netflix. I'll try it. I'll play it for a bit and whatever. Yeah, that was good. But I've got stuff that I've spent £15 on. I should probably play that next. You know. But that's nothing against the game at all. That's just a kind of a modern day issue, really, isn't it? Anyway,
I think me and Mark have said that, and we've done this for a couple of games at least. We would use Game Pass almost like a demo. So if you can give the game a try, and if you really like it, especially for something like Hotshot Racing, really, if you really liked it on Game Pass and you wanted to play more of it, it is on Switch, so you could pick it up for Switch and then take it with you wherever. So yes, it's kind of like, do I like this game? I'll give it a try on Game Pass. If I don't, you've not lost anything. If you do, you can continue to play it on Game Pass, or you can find it on a different console that's more convenient for you. It's just, Plus, there's xCloud now, so you can actually, you don't even need to pick up things on Switch anymore. You just grab it on your phone and take it with you. So
just briefly on xCloud, I don't want to deviate too much, but that still feels like a little bit of a faff to me compared to picking up a Switch and just firing up a game. Like, I've got everything I need now. I've got the little grip thing and I can attach my phone to it. But it's still, I don't know. I don't find myself ever using it. I think maybe because I need my phone for everything else.
Do you just think it takes too long? Or
No, it's pretty snappy to get in and out of the app. It just, I don't know, it just doesn't feel... I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it. I'm interested to know if anyone else feels the same. Anyone that's got that capability. But...
I mean, I'm kind of... So I was in the beta for this. Sorry, we are deviating now. I was in the beta for this, and I played it quite a lot on my tablet. But then since it's come out in full, it seems to not work very well for me anymore. It's very, very choppy and shitty, so...
I think, although, counting the point to that, I think Rich said the exact opposite, didn't he? I think he said his...
Yeah. He did, his he did. Is yeah, yeah.
greatly improved, so... Yeah, God knows. But yeah. Just,
but I think, like, from moment of you deciding you want to play a game and you tap the app, I think it takes quite a long time to actually get to playing the game. So I can kind of see your point.
But it's not even that. It's the I've got to, get my controller out. I've got to stick an attachment onto the controller and put my phone on it. And I don't know. Look, we're talking like an extra minute or two to set it up, but that.
Yeah, but you don't want to wait that long.
No, I'm a busy man, Steve. I want to play. I've got a 2-minute window. I don't want to spend half of that fannying about with a controller. Yeah,
if you've only got 2 minutes to play games, why are you even playing the game? My God, Ben.
Well, how long do you take when you're doing a Wii?
Oh, a Wii. Okay. I missed that bit. I thought you said 2 minutes to play a game.
Treating myself to a sit-down
Wii. Games while
a fellow sit-down Wii-er, I see.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Exactly.
Is it one-handed gaming?
No, I just make a lot of mess in the toilet. But...
Oh, dear. I don't have an Android phone, and they've kind of blocked out Apple, unfortunately. Eamon, have you played much xCloud?
No, I haven't. Same as that, Andrew. I have an iPhone, and I'm sort of reluctant to change at the moment just for the sake of xCloud. Especially whenever, like Ben says, the Switch is just as handy.
You've
got to give your Switch some love.
You do. All right, let's get back on track then. So before we go on to reveal the games of October, let's rank the games of September, I suppose. What we're thinking is we've got 4 games, 1 to 4. How do we do this?
Let's start with the worst one first.
The worst. All right.
Battletoads.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Jumping the gun.
So Steve's Battletoads. Eamon, what would you go for last place?
PUBG.
Ooh. Ben?
Battletoads, definitely.
So we've got two in the chat already saying PUBG is the worst. Scumdeath and Mark, original underscore PMF. I'm agreeing that Battletoads is probably the worst for me. Do we take the chat into account here?
I think we have to, really. This is supposed to be a democracy. I think
if we do take them into account, then we kind of... the PUBG is lost.
Well, because we're the only person that hasn't, well, there's a few people that haven't voted in the chat, but Lewis, I know, loved Battletoads.
Lewis has said PUBG now as his worst.
Okay, so we've got 3 PUBGs there, but yeah, I mean, let's say, look, we've got PUBG and Battletoads in the last place.
If PUBG loses, that's how it goes. Them's the breaks. If that's the way it is, that's the way it is.
Yeah, no, just because it's the game that me and Steve enjoyed probably the most over this month out of those 4 means nothing.
As we know, sometimes democracy does get it wrong. And you just have to live with that.
And when it involves Lewis, it definitely always gets it wrong. So, love you really, Lewis. I'm guessing then that Battletoads is coming a close second to last, if not equally last. Mm. Right? Would that be what? So people who've chose PUBG, would Battletoads have been your third place game?
I would say Hotshot, probably. I would place Battletoads slightly above it. Just because there's not a lot.
Mark,
I suppose there's a lot more of an experience in Battletoads than there is in Hotshot Racing. So.
Interesting.
Yeah, Mark's saying Battletoads in third as well.
So, okay, would you agree, Ben?
I would have put Battletoads last and PUBG third. Okay. So that to me, between the two of them, I'm happy with those being in last place.
Okay, fair enough. That's what we're going to go for then, I guess. And Gamer Jason kind of came in and said PUBG would be last as well, I think. Or he might have said third. I don't know when that message came in.
But the fact that three of us have said Battletoads, but Eamon said PUBG, and then 4 people in the chat have said PUBG as well. I think that's...
Yeah,
we can't argue with that.
That is decisive.
Yeah,
that is that's decisive. Math. You're all wrong. But okay, second place. Then what would we?
Second referendum? Or no, sorry, Karen.
So what's second place then? So we've Battletoads and PUBG are out of the picture. We've got Hotshot Racing and a short hike. So what's second? What's second place?
I would say Hotshot Racing second place. Yeah.
Mm. Steve, what about you?
That sounds right. I mean, I haven't played it obviously, but from what I've heard here today, that sounds about right.
Okay.
I'm more thinking about a short hike coming first place than I am that game coming second. That sounds right to me.
Yep. Fair enough. Just to mention that Dan has taken over the Cross Players Live chat. I believe it's Dan. I'm pretty sure it's Dan. Shame on you, he said. I'm guessing to everybody who's voted PUBG last. he's saying it has to be PUBG, and he wants there to be a Twitter vote. Dan, you are currently not on the pod, so pop a Twitter vote out there if you want to. Absolutely fine. As long as it ends by the 31st. So any caveat.
I'm not sure it is Dan. I think it's just saying the Cross Players Live, I can think for myself now. So I don't think it is Dan.
1000100.
Sentient account.
Oh dear.
Sentient brand.
Either that or PUBG's taken over the account somehow and he's trying to get us to vote PUBG first. So I guess that's pretty decisive then, I guess. Short Hike is in first place.
Yep.
And therefore is our game of September.
Wow.
I did think this is what I'm thinking that we mentioned, Ben, is that whoever won would be like our in our Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
so to speak, our
game of the month, September 2020.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
So this is our chosen game. We have chosen a Short Hike. We'll send them like a little award or something, like a picture of a trophy that they can hang on their wall to say you were Game Club Game of the Month.
Print it out yourself. Put it on the wall.
Yeah. Print. Dan, get on it. Get a lovely picture of a Game Club trophy put together. Mark says a worthy winner. I think, from what I heard, everybody said, a Short Hike was very good.
Absolutely. Man, we love an indie around here, don't we?
We do. Very true. All right, well, that was great. And it's been a great month as well. I think we've had a lot of fun playing all these games.
It is hilarious. I'm sorry, it's hilarious that PUBG's last, I must just say that. Considering that's the game that like you guys have played so much of this month.
A lot. We had so much fun in that game.
That's just...
the only reason for that is because it's the best one on this list. But
and yet...
Ho-hum. Ho-hum.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there we go. First month done. I mean, there's a few days left. So if you still want to play these games in September, then feel free. Play them after September if you want. You don't have to stick to the month. It's fine. We just won't talk about them anymore. All right. So let's move on then to October and what we've got planned. We're doing three games again, and we will have a fourth bonus game, but this time you'll vote for it in Patreon. Is it just Patreon, or are we going to extend it to Discord as well? I can't remember what we decided.
I can't remember, mate. I've had a couple of beers.
It's your gig, man. It's your gig, man.
Patreon's the vote. You can come and join in on Discord, but if you want to vote for the games, you have to be a Patreon.
You have to pay to be part of this democracy.
Yeah, exactly. It's a paid democracy.
Yeah.
All right, so... The three games for October, about to reveal now. Get yourselves ready. The first game that we can reveal as our October game is Rocket League.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Spooky.
Ooh.
For Spooktober.
Spooky.
Get your little pumpkin for your antenna. Be fine. It's spooky as hell. We wanted something multiplayer, and it's just gone free to play. And we also got some votes for that in the Discord channel as well when we were talking about it. So Discord has spoken to a degree. You still got a choice, and there it is, Rocket League.
We've had some great mates as well.
Yeah.
On Rocket League, so yeah, everybody gets involved.
The whole part of it is the reason we started this was to, you know, bring us together on games that aren't going to break the bank. And the fact that this has gone free to play, it was very hard.
Yes.
Even though we kind of all said we wanted to put a spooky twist on all the games, I think they kind of took the decision out of our hands by making it free to play. And it's just it's a no-brainer.
It is. Yeah, absolutely. And Thylacius, yes, it's free to play on everything. It is now just a completely free to play game.
Mm.
So you can join us on whatever console, or I think it's on mobile, I think.
Yep.
Rocket League, is it?
Actually, I don't know.
On mobile? No, it's on Switch. It's not on mobile. No.
Okay.
Fair enough. It's on every console and PC, free to play. Mm. So there you go. You can play on anything pretty much, just not on your mobile. So second game then. Let's do something a bit different. Thought we'd do something a bit retro, and lovely Nate from the Crossplayers is a massive fan of this series, and it is free to play for Nintendo Switch Online players. But of course, you may already own it, in which case you can play as well. Play it on your Super Nintendo, on your Wii U, wherever you happen to have it on. And that is Super Metroid. So that is our second choice for October. What are we thinking about this?
Confession time. I have never played any Metroid game ever. Not a single time.
Now's your chance, Steve. Wow. It's time. Yeah. It's your time.
This is the one.
I'm going to dive in.
And it's
I know very little about the series as well. Like I don't really know anything about it either.
It's a woman.
However, she is.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was an SJW game. I don't know. No. I always imagine that it's like a Castlevania type thing. Metroid. Yeah. Well, that's why they call it Metroidvania. Duh. That's just made that shocking realization.
Today I learned
live on air.
Now I get it. Yeah.
Oh, Metroidvania. Mm. Right.
Yeah. Well, now you've got the excuse to get into it, and it's Thylasos has said the same thing. He's not played it before, so it's a push to get properly into it. It is on Nintendo Switch Online. So if you are a subscriber. And you can subscribe for very little. So as we said, we want to make it as cheap as possible. I think you can get a month subscription for a couple of quid, a few quid.
And
you can
subscribe
for a year for less than 20.
Yeah, and it is on the SNES Classic Mini as well, I believe, as well, just if you want
to. Oh, yes. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
If you've got one of those knocking about.
Exactly. If you have a Wii U and you don't have a Switch for any reason, then you can get it on the Wii U in the Virtual Console for about, I think it's $6.99. So, yeah, it's well below the £12. And, so there's plenty of ways to play it. So definitely jump on that.
And we have, if you're interested in it, we did an episode on it, a Desert Island Cartridges episode with Jordan Rudek. I forget the episode number, but if you check back in our podcast feed and look for Super Metroid on there, I think that was probably about January, February this year that we did that.
And yeah, it was
January 10, I think.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's a game of... never finished, so I'd definitely like to get in and right that wrong.
There you go. Now's your chance. Mm-hmm. All right, third game then. Last proper game. I say proper game, they're all proper games. Last game that we've chosen. It is kind of a spooky game. It's got some scares to it. And it's one that we've chosen because it's very well regarded. I think Ben really, really wants to play it. It's PlayStation exclusive currently. It can be had fairly cheap at CEX. It's also a part of PS Now. So if you get a PS Now subscription, which is £9 for a month, you can play this game with us in October. And that game is Bloodborne.
Mm.
So one for the PlayStation owners there. And possibly PS5 when it comes out. But PS5's not up till November. So, what are we thinking about Bloodborne? Has anybody actually played this yet?
Have I played Bloodborne? I fucking love this game. This game is fantastic. This game is brilliant. Nice. So, everyone should play this.
And they will, hopefully, now.
Yeah.
Ben?
Yeah, no, it strikes me as being an extremely hardcore game. I think that's, it's got that reputation. I haven't played any of the kind of Soulsborne games before. I'm intrigued. To me, the look of these games always kind of puts me off. It just looks very kind of slow and deliberate, and I'm more lean towards fast paced dashing in and out of trouble. And
so Bloodborne, it is a Soulsborne game, but Bloodborne is a lot faster than Dark Souls. Bloodborne definitely has a sense of speed to it.
Okay.
It is almost a character action game in the same kind of vein as like a Bayonetta, kind of almost.
Okay.
Like over short sustained bursts, like it can be really really fast. So don't be put off by that too much.
Yeah, no, I'm very much looking forward to doing that and having a good old chinwag about it.
Nice. Mm. Amy, do you have a PS4? I can't remember.
No, I do not.
Well. That's you out of that one then. Yeah. Can you play PS or buy a PS4 basically for
don't buy
it very cheap for you.
Don't buy a PS4. Don't.
No, don't. Don't.
Only
don't
an idiot would buy a PS4 now. Okay.
Ben. Yeah. All right, that brings us to the bonus game. So this one we won't kind of bring to you until basically a week into October. But you've got a choice of two. So the vote will go on until the 7th of October over on Patreon. I don't know if we can actually put votes on Patreon, but we'll figure out a way to do it, so keep an eye out. Or we'll just basically put a post up and you can comment with whichever one you want. We'll figure it out. Your choices are between two. These are both spooky games, so choose well. Your choices are Dead by Daylight. That's the game, right? I've said that right. Or Resident Evil 7. Both of which are on Game Pass, both of which can be played on PlayStation. I think Resident Evil 7 is on PS Now. You can get Dead by Daylight on Switch, and both of them are indeed on the PC as well. We had fairly cheap. Anybody got any preference between these two for what you'd like?
I would like it to be Dead by Daylight because I've never played this game before and I've heard that it's a lot of fun playing it with your friends. So I would like to get on this with all of you guys and try it out. Although Resident Evil 7 is also a fantastic game. So I don't know. Tough one.
Choice. Ben?
I'd like it to be Resident Evil 7 because I need to play more Resident Evil. You've made me buy them all, Andrew, so it'd be great to actually play some of them.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to see you just stream this just so I can watch you being absolutely terrified throughout. That's the only reason. Eamon, any preferences between these
two?
Yeah,
I'm not going to play either, but I'd love to watch somebody else play them.
Okay.
Leaning towards Dead by Daylight, I think. But yeah, I'd like to watch somebody playing Resident Evil 7 for me. Because I don't fancy it.
It's going to be Ben. If that gets chosen, Ben is going to be our chosen streamer for Resident Evil 7. So keep that in mind, people who are voting. Thylasos has said for Eamon, PS Now will work for PC, won't it? I think it will, but not the PS4 games, I believe. Because you have to download the PS4 games, whereas the PS3 games are streamable. So I think that's...
Do you have to download the PS4 games? Or I thought you could stream them as well.
Can you stream them as well?
You can. Well, you can stream them as well on the console, yeah.
If that's the case, then Eamon, you may well be able to play Bloodborne.
Lucky you, Eamon.
£9.
Eamon's so happy about that.
Just what you always wanted.
But yeah, I mean, look, the reason, obviously, not everyone is going to have every console, and we don't all have every console, but we wanted to have a good mix, and, you know, the budget is... you know, there's a pretty low barrier to entry for all of them. I think Bloodborne you can get for about a tenner secondhand. And Super Metroid is essentially free. It's a good mix. Got some spooky stuff in there. And those two, the two for the vote. Are we just doing two? Or are we going to take suggestions for others? Or how are we doing it?
I think maybe this month we'll stick with two, and then next month we'll maybe go whole hog and have four to choose from for the bonus game, cool. Just to make it easy this month. But nice. Gamer Jason is now asking: Are the membership cards in the post? Please address those queries to Dan. Dan has all the membership card stuff.
Dan. Poor Dan. Get lumbered with all the admin.
He loves it. He doesn't love it, but I'll pretend he loves it. So that's everything, I think. I think we've covered everything. It's pretty good. It was a good month. I really enjoyed that. I mean, I didn't play all the games to a huge degree, but the ones I did play, I really enjoyed. And although it came last, I very much enjoyed PUBG. So, and I'll continue to play it, I believe. Are there any of these that you'll continue to play, do you think, in the coming months from September?
Probably the top two for me. I would definitely play a short hike. I would play that through again when the feeling hits me, and I would definitely play Hot Shot Racing some more.
Nice.
I feel like I will definitely go back and finish a short hike. And yeah, I'm always willing to go on PUBG with you chaps and have some fun.
Nice. Eamon?
I'd like to play a short hike again, I think, and sort of mark off those bits I missed the first time around. But not have too many other games to get through, so the rest I'll just have to.
It's true.
Fly under the wind.
My Twitch thing, all of the pictures. So Eamon has disappeared. Ben is kind of like a shoulder in the corner,
yeah.
And
wow.
Steve is like part of a face. Dan, this is why you do this mostly. I am, you know, I've kind of cobbled this together and it's worked mostly, but this is why. I don't know why it's happening. It's doing it of its own accord. I couldn't tell you what's going on. But we've done it. We've done an episode, and it's the first one, so it's a little bit rough and ready, and we'll be a bit more prepared for the October review.
No, we won't. We say we will.
We'll do it last minute again.
Jason, just in the chat there, is saying, thanks for organising the club. Andrew, thank you. It's been great to try some games I wouldn't otherwise consider. I think that's... I would say exactly the same. Good. Thank you, Jason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you very much. And thanks, everybody, for participating and being so open to the whole thing. It's been lovely to have the community... this bloody wine. I've not even drank that much. The community in Discord has been great. The little game club channel we've got going, people keep kind of popping up and chatting about what they've been enjoying. It's it's been great. So come over and join us on the crossplayers.com/Discord and get involved. Get some Super Metroid played, get some Rocket League played. Any of the multiplayer games, by the way, I know that us guys kind of organise some PUBG between ourselves. Feel free to come in, organise some games either with us guys or with anybody else who's in the chat. Mm. Just play together. It's a lot of fun to do that. So organise as many games as you want. Let's do that Shy more often always, in October.
Always forward about a game or two of Rocket League, so I think if he's up, he's always up for a game.
Cool. All right, well, that's everything. Thank you very much. I look forward to playing more games with you in October. Until then, see you later.
Bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.